Well, it's a privilege to be able to sit with you, Dmitry Sikovetsky. That's a long time no see.
Yes, as we figured out, more than 20 years, my goodness.
And welcome back to the Valley.
Oh, it's wonderful to be back.
You know, your own musical journey is almost legend, you know, your parents and your journey to this country. And then there's the transcriptions you'd be playing at the Mesa Arts Center tomorrow night.
Right.
And this is its own musical journey for everyone.
That's true.
But it seems to be, it has a special place for you. And surprised me, though, that it was because of a 1981 recording that you were really fascinated by.
Yeah. I think if it weren't for sort of my own rediscovery of Glenn Gould, it's not that I wasn't aware of his presence. He came to Russia when I was probably just 3 years old, and I heard his early recording, you know, while growing up. But somehow that late recording affected me in a way that no other recording did before, and also the video that I saw. He made a video with Bruno Munsingjohn, and that was quite something. So I became kind of a little obsessed with the piece of music, with him as sort of musical equivalent of E.T., you know, that came from another galaxy and just sort of illuminated everything and was so strange and unlike the rest of us, and then left, affected a lot of people. But basically, with all the followers that he has, there's no Glenn Gould clones. You cannot really be like him. Not that one would want to be, really, as a person, as a human being. Anyway, but he was unique, and he certainly illuminated the piece in a way that I realized that most of Goldberg variations are written for three-part counterpoint. You know, every third variation is a canon, which they go further and further away from each other. And so that gave me an idea that, you know, maybe it will work as a string trio.
Well, but when was that?
It was 83.
Okay.
It was exactly in 83, and I remember very well the beginning of December. I, having listened already, you know, all the time to his recording, and I bought the, you know, the original, I'd follow the music, not just listen, but also follow. And I realized that maybe just as an exercise, you know, for my own sort of amusement, maybe I'd write it out. And sure enough, it was incredibly joyful and fascinating journey, being in the company of Bach and Glenn Gould. That is pretty exalted company. So I finished it in 2 months, really, all in longhand, of course, and all in pencil, and so I could make some adjustments. I even took out for a couple of weeks a viola, which I never played before or since. So just to see if violas could negotiate those difficult you know, passages, especially when they imitate the violin and then those canons and all that. But it all worked out, and except everybody thought I was completely out of my mind.
I wanted to talk about that because that would be hard for people, especially younger people, to even comprehend. You know, I remember critics and musicians even saying, "Oh, you don't do that." When Bach was the ultimate guy.
Bach was. I mean, if anybody would have done it, it would be him. I mean, right. He thought nothing of taking Vivaldi Concerto for Four Violins and making it his own concerto for four harpsichords. And nobody sued him for, you know, copyright infringement or whatever, or for, you know. So he was absolutely, and he took his own thing, whatever worked. He didn't always have the position in Leipzig. He played the instruments he had available. You know, there's a reason why he wrote the sonatas and partitas in Köthen, because he didn't have the organ position, which he was looking for. He went to Hamburg and auditioned for the big church and lost, even though he was clearly the best organist around. But politics were, and you know, were ripe even back then. It's all human nature.
So the detractors you had, the folks who said you're crazy, Dmitry, don't do this. Your own teachers and
not only, but I mean, teachers. I never took it to any teachers. I took it. First of all, the very people who recorded and played it with me originally, Misha Maisky and Gerard Cosset, they're friends, old friends and wonderful colleagues, they couldn't believe that, what I was asking them to do. I said, well, let's just sit down and read. Because we were rehearsing for something else, and they were in my house. They had no place to go. So I sort of set them down, and, you know, an hour and a half later, they just got up after really sort of being forced to do. Little did they know that they were going to play hundreds of times this piece, and still playing. And recorded it, and not just with me, but with many other musicians. At that time, my own managers laughed at me when I actually told them what I did. I said, oh, come on, transcriptions. Oh, no, no, no. That's just like a dirty word in those days.
Yeah.
You know, purity of style, you know, the whole thing. Well, now look who's laughing. And and look who is getting commissions for transcription. You know, that as we speak now, I just completed a major transcription for the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. It's Stravinsky Divertimento, which, of course, Fairy's Kiss as an orchestral piece, and also violin and piano, but I made it into a violin and orchestra, kind of another violin concerto is coming up. So it'd be interesting. So these days I get commissions. I also did 12 Chopin preludes for Verbier's Festival a couple of years ago, 20th anniversary for everybody, and you know, who played there, and that was very popular.
When did those first players? At what point did they say, "Okay, you were right"?
Well, I guess when we played it for the first time in Finland at my festival first, and then also Newport, Rhode Island, and then when they saw the reaction of the people, and then when we made a recording soon after that. And then we only had two kinds of reviews for that, either incredibly for or incredibly against it.
Isn't that how you know you've done something right,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, then I knew I did something, yeah, absolutely.
So I'm sorry, have you revisited the transcription then
several
since?
Times, yeah, yeah, a couple of times, and might not be the last time yet. I revisited when I started to conduct, and that was already in 1990. I still had that fabulous Finnish festival, which was like my musical laboratory. I mean, this is where all my first experimented were tried on that wonderful audience. And so my friends, there were half of them were from Russia, half of them were Russian trained, half of them were Western. They all knew and played already, some of them, the string trees. They said, oh, come on, do the transcription. Because I'd done different transcriptions. They said, please do. And I resisted for a couple of years. But then I finally did. And that became a bestseller, a non-such. I've done it with many, many orchestras all over the world, major symphony orchestras even, not only chamber orchestras. So that was the second sort of incarnation of the piece, if you like, in my hands. And then the third one is a little bit sort of influenced by the second one, because I, you know, I had bigger field to play with. I had a double bass, I had, you know, harpsichord continuo. It's a very sort of visual kind of thing. And the interesting thing about, of course, the string trio as well, that this is one rare situation where you could, unlike the original, where just two hands, whether it's, you know, two manual harpsichord or more often just piano, you could actually watch polyphony. Because there's the three voices, and you could see how they interact. You know, how I start a canon, and then viola plays exactly the same when it's unison, and cello is playing sort of variations on the theme, supporting us. And then they get further and further. That's already a visual. Now, when you see the orchestral one, that's even more so. You have groups, and also tutti and soli and all of that. To finally, I mean, so many people recorded it, including my friends. They should remember how they first responded to it. But anyway, so when I did the just a recent one, and that's the one we will play tomorrow, you know, and here, Mise, it's a sort of, some variations now have been changed a little bit. some more pizzicato added, some octaves been original octave been restored and everything. Since then, you know, so many wonderful violas. Now they, I don't have to bring it down an octave, certain things to make sure the viola can play it, and so forth. So this is more for my second recording of this piece, or third already, in 2010 for Nimbus. And I did it with young members of my chamber orchestra, with Luigi Piovano, who's a fantastic cellist from Italy, and Yuri Zhislin, also somebody that I brought up in my NES chamber orchestra. So that was together with the 15 Sinfonias, which we will also do tomorrow.
In my head, this week's performance came about because Azul Bailey is so involved with Mesa as a guest director.
Exactly.
Did he approach you?
Yeah. Azul, first of all, we met in Greensboro, which is my orchestra where I've been now for more than 10 years as music director. And we did from time to time, we do sort of a combined Greensboro Winston-Salem orchestra. And he's been coming to Winston-Salem for quite some time. He's friends with Bob Moody, who's also my friend. Yeah. So we did this big program where he did Don Quixote. And I conducted him in two performances. So I liked him a lot, and he's a very, gregarious character. Exactly.
Now, the third member, the violist, is from...
Scott Rawls. He's from Greensboro. But he played in New York, and he went to, he's originally from North Carolina, but he's a wonderful player. And he was Sancho Panza in Don Quixote, and that's why Zul said, "Well, let's play with him." And so we went first last January to El Paso, to his festival there, and we played all kinds of things, including this. And then this performance came about. Yes, it's very much because of Zul.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's something extraordinary very often is following someone's journey, and you following your bliss and bringing Bach in your back pocket and letting us share the journey with you. Tomorrow evening, the Mesa Arts. Dmitry Sikovetsky, it's great to see you.
Wonderful to be back. Thanks so much.